Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
I'm always a realist, and I'm a striker by nature, and I've always been an optimist. And I'm optimistic that we can keep players fit, and if the right ones become available, we do have the resources. And I do.
Right. Here we go. Get ready to talk Manchester United. Hello, everyone. It's Red News Podcast 85, and a week for United can be a very long time. There we were on the crest of a wave last week, and United never do it easy, do we? So a quick few tangent thoughts. Right, remember this. There's six of us tonight, maybe Nathan joining us. You've all got to remember this, and I'm going to ask two at the end. Person, woman, man, camera, TV. Remember that? Right, so I must be fucking going mad because I was just channel hopping before we arranged to do this. And I've ended up just switching on to a Christmas movie. They have Christmas movies on in July. What the fuck is that all about? There's actually a channel showing Christmas movies. Worse still, I ended up watching it for about 15 minutes. Right, so we're rejoined by Nick, bad cop of the podcast. We've got Shane, Finno, Ben, Coggy and me. Just a few quick words. When I woke up this morning flat, I thought, fucking hell, we could be a Knox Forest fan. And I think Ben was saying it was an 8-goal swing that they had to prevent, and they got a 9-goal swing against them. So we're third. We feel a bit dirty targeting top fourth, but I maintain that if we get fourth, it allows for us to build and hopefully Ollie to better prepare the squad, to better buy, you know, the dream that the Glazers will do something miraculous. But I was gutted that we sort of took the choice that West Ham was more important than Chelsea. And also, I don't think this United side is capable of switching momentum so you can suddenly say, right, we'll play with six here. And Shane has been saying from pretty much all season, we're a very fragile, confident side. And you can see that where we were free-flowing 8 or 9 days ago. Yesterday, we passed the ball and there was fear. There was fear of having that ball from the defence when Fernandes and Pogba weren't working. And probably the most stupid thing I've seen in the United since Phil Jones fucking taking a corner at QPR. Right, so I'm going to go to bad cop Nick. Let's not mention Martial for once. What do you reckon, mate?
What's that you cut out then?
What do you reckon, Nick? Let's not mention Martial for once.
Well, I was going to mention him because, you know, I thought that, you know, you were saying on the last podcast about how we should be proven wrong. And, you know, I'm quite happy to be proven wrong about Martial. And I think that, you know, if he's consistently proven over the base of the season and if he can take the momentum into next year, then fair enough for him. You know, he got another assist again yesterday. He looks arsed. I can't criticise him for the last couple of matches, even though we've been playing pretty badly. I thought that after the Chelsea game, he really should be leading the line up front. I don't think that's probably Rashford's best feature. I love Rashford the bits that started to get a bit of a fondness for Martial. I wouldn't say more than that. I do think that he should be leading the line. And I thought these last two games have really been a massive carbon copy of each other, where if we played a better team yesterday, I think they would have finished us off and probably gone and beat us. So I agree with what you're saying about the fragile confidence. And it's almost got the same feeling to what the end of last year did, where you have a bad result and it has a bit of a knock-on effect. And I just worry, can we get another win against Leicester at the weekend and then just maybe roll into this Europa League competition? So I do worry a bit about that.
We can't fuck this up. I mean, my view is any United side or any good side who's trying to develop, if you don't get a draw, and it's not, you know, we're not going to Turkey, we're not going to Galatasaray, we're going to Leicester in an empty stadium. Harry Maguire did, I thought he had quite a decent game yesterday. He was bringing it out from the back. He was trying something. He said, if you're not up for Sunday, then you don't deserve to be playing sport. And that's the attitude. You should be going. Bring it on. We need a draw. Right, Finno, you're new to the podcast. Usually we've met you in a pub after a game. So welcome to house party world. What do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, look, like everyone, I think the momentum has gone out of it, and that's what's made it disappointing. You know, we all got very excited about the football we were watching. I'm old school, the lads will know, from the little bit of writing on the forum, I was gutted. I'm still annoyed about last Sunday, about him not going all out for that cup. And I tell you why. I think, had we applied a full team, we'd have beaten him. And we'd have carried that momentum, regardless of some tired legs, into Wednesday's game. I think momentum is a huge thing in football, I really do. And I think there was an element of having been beaten on Sunday, all of a sudden the pressure was heaped onto Wednesday night, and you could see that in the players. And that brings out the tiredness that probably is in there. But you can get, tiredness will disappear if you've got a little bit of, you know, as I said, momentum. So I was devastated. And particularly when I saw the team, and I didn't watch the game last night, I went out for a walk at 8 o'clock, obviously to avoid it, but I did see the team Chelsea put out last night, and it was virtually the same team that played at Wembley, bar, what's his name, Pulisic and the keeper. So they didn't weaken the team to the extent that we did, and yet they're going for top four, like I said. So why did he sacrifice a trophy? Oh, look, I'm backing, I'm behind Ollie, I'm a big Ollie fan, and I'm backing what he's doing, but I just, this is, I think, is a general attitude in football. You know, the top four obviously is important, but I think you missed a great opportunity to win a trophy, Bernie.
I think we all did.
I think we'd have been Arsenal.
People remember, and people would have read, you've played football to a decent level. So do you think, because Maguire said after the game, you've got to remember that we're having 2 days to prepare for the game. So he said Sunday we'll actually have in 3 games. Is the tiredness a huge factor in this? Bearing in mind they've had 3 months off from games.
I think there is an element of it, of course, because we played solid midweek, more or less. I know there's been Thursday games and Monday games, but in effect it's 2 games a week since they've come back. And there'll be an element of it, but I just think, you know, okay, the squad, if you like, the depth of the squad was always a danger. Let's say, for argument's sake, Fernandes had got injured 3 games ago, 4 games ago. What effect would that have had on the team? Or similarly, Martial, who'd been playing well. If he'd have been injured to the extent he wouldn't have been able, he'd have had to find a replacement. But the players weren't injured. Yes, they were a bit tired. Maybe the rotation, let's call it, or at least the substitutions and the way the squad has been managed hasn't been, could have allowed us to do a little bit better in the game. That's my view. I just think that Sunday, I think, because remember against Palace, I heard you talking about it. I thought we finished the game against Palace really well the last 20 minutes. I thought, and therefore the momentum was back there.
Yeah.
There was no tired legs at the end of Palace.
But why didn't he make changes?
Semi-final, so,
why didn't he make changes 20 minutes to go with Palace? And more, what my thing, a consistent thing again is, and like last week, you're on a crest of a wave, and then suddenly it's a reality check, and you realise we're still, you know, there's so many issues in this squad. But Ollie, for me, this is a problem that has continued. Is the super sub is really poor at his subs, and me and Coggy sort of had a mini debate last night that he should be making better subs yesterday. And if it's not working, why the fuck did we give Matter a contract if we're not going to bring him on with 15 minutes to go in a game that is so running away from us? What, there is nothing. Just have a punt. United is about punts. And there's the man on the bench who made a fucking career out of being a punt. You know, talented punt. But for fuck's sake, have, you know, I don't get, if you've given Matter a contract and picking him out of the air, he's not the answer, but he scored 50 goals for us, or 30, 40 goals for us. So there's not a player, he knows how to score. Right, Coggy.
Yeah, I think, my take's slightly different from everybody else, to be honest, about this confidence thing. I agree what people are saying about the mental. I'm not sure it's a lack of confidence as such because we've got a bad result. I just think, firstly, teams have sussed us out in the last 4 games with the high press, and our defence are incapable of playing the ball out. He started De Gea, his distribution shocking. Lindelof is like a rabbit in headlights when he's got the ball. Wan-Bissaka is the same. Williams is not particularly good as well. And there's only Maguire. And I think that's what the difference has been, that teams have, particularly not so much West Ham, but the previous 3 games, they've done a high press and we've been incapable of getting out of it.
But then we're in trouble, Coggy, aren't we?
We still have the confidence in all of those, well, to Chelsea side. We still have the confidence in the league games to go on and score. So I don't know if it's a lack of confidence. I just think it's a lack of quality.
But then we're in trouble, Coggy. Because if we keep saying we might be three players short, then you could be five or six. I thought we missed Shaw yesterday, which I haven't...
Well, we did. I mean, what was interesting, and I think Gary Neville mentioned this on the commentary last night, what West Ham were very good at last night is allowing our fullback plenty of space.
Yeah.
But he got Williams, who is naturally right-footed, and then he got Fosu Mensah, who wasn't particularly good in the first half going forward. And we were just ineffective. And I know people go on about Liverpool and these super fullbacks, but it is key to an attacking team, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I like Wan-Bissaka for his defensive qualities, but we've got to somehow have more effectiveness going forward from our fullbacks, because then the three forwards can cause some trouble.
I'll go on to Ben, but quickly, if Gary Neville spotted that within 10 minutes, then shouldn't that be our coaching staff going, They've sussed this. They've got that tactic. You've got to change it around. And the second bit, I was really involved yesterday, like properly, you know, fucking chances, going really into it. So it was the game there. The crowd didn't matter at all because I was as involved as if I was in the crowd, you know, shouting, cursing. But it was equally the game that I missed the most because... stupidly, maybe I thought we might have made a little bit of a difference. And Andy Mitnick posted, you would have at least encouraged to stop, you know, be a bit more attack minded. Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of what Coggy said there. And I think the press is something that they're really going to have to address next season because, you know, it started, you know, Southampton was not the first time that's been apparent all season, but since the lockdown, probably. You know, we really struggled to get out against Southampton, and Chelsea basically used that as a blueprint and played the same way against us, and it was the same issue again. I think looking at the two games, to echo what's been said, I was really disappointed on Sunday. Probably the most disappointed I can remember feeling about a game for quite some time, to be honest. I was, you know, really fancied us for it this year, and I think Ollie got it wrong. I think he should have stuck with the team, or played the strongest team, shall I say, and stuck with that formation that we've been having a lot of success with on the whole. But I think in his defence, I kind of understand why he got it wrong. I think it was a difficult position to be in, playing twice in 48 hours when Chelsea had the extra couple of days. And whilst I accept what's been said, that the legs didn't look as tired once we were 2-0 up, you know, against Palace, I think if you look at the sort of couple of games before that, there was definitely signs of tiredness creeping in. So I do think he got it wrong on Sunday, but I think he was in a way between a rock and a hard place. I think yesterday, you know, you've got to kind of keep it in perspective. I think we judge it after Sunday, really, don't we? Because ultimately, we've drawn three games and won every other game in the league since we came back. We've not lost since whenever it is in the league. You know, so if we get a result on Sunday, last night's forgotten, it's not actually a bad result because it makes no difference in terms of what we have to do on Sunday. We couldn't lose on Sunday even if we won last night. So it was a poor performance. It looked like a tired and nervous performance, and it did look a bit devoid of ideas. It looked like a lot of games we've seen in the last 5 years, to be honest. But, you know, I think we need to keep a bit of perspective because I think things could look very different if we get a good result on Sunday.
A run of games like this makes it hard to keep a bit of perspective because you are just relentlessly devouring. And we feel a bit dirty celebrating a fourth anyway, but once you're in this, you can't fuck it up. Shane, last, but the one thing I am so confused by United, this spell of United, I don't know what we are. And the good football sort of... And I'm not being negative as much as I was getting giddy over... But I find this hard to work out.
We'll massively define the season. And I think there's been a lot of positive signs, particularly in the last, I'd say, 6 months since Christmas. I know we've not been playing all that time, or since the end of January at least. You know, in terms of the football's improving, there's good young players coming through. And I think if we come third, then that's been a good season.
It'll be fucking incredible.
We're ever going to come this
season. It will be incredible.
We're ever going to come from Liverpool and City. So, yeah. But if we come fifth, then things look very different, don't they?
So Shane, just before you talk United, what was Trump's test? Can you remember?
What was Trump's what? His test?
Yeah, what were the things that I said at the start?
I only heard woman.
You fucking failed. You failed.
I don't know. He did mention finance, did he?
Person, woman, man, camera, TV. Right, Shane, go on.
I don't mean know what was going on there, but back to the football. I agree. I think it's like I agree to an extent with everything that's been said. I think it's all of the things that have been said are true, and they're not kind of mutually exclusive. The one thing I do think to add that I think, picking up Finno's point about momentum, is I think now there's a lot of pressure on Ole, because if we don't finish this job off now, we're starting to, you know, I've accused Pochettino in the past of being a sort of nearly man, you know, when he gets to the semi-finals in one game, big playoff, other than that European Cup semi-final, he tended to fluff his line. And Ole's starting to have a little bit of a theme emerging that just when we get in our noses in front in the top four and the pressure's on, something counts, or semi-final, he rolls the wrong dice. And that's where kind of the top managers earn the crust. And I think, you know, it's hard for him because he's inexperienced. But I think for him personally, I think it's a really, really big deal now. If he manages to get third or fourth, that's a massive, big step forward for us as a club in terms of progress. But I think him personally, he's got to get that off his back. But I kind of agree with Coggy about the predictability of our play and the pressing. You know, it was quite easy for anyone to read how to play. I think Nathan touched on it before that, you know, Southampton had sort of nullified the midfield. And the one thing after praising Pogba in the podcast, it just does seem to be that, you know, if you take Bruno at the game at the moment, or Bruno's having a bit of an off day, in a good team, you'd expect, it's okay, he's not on his best, but Pogba would step up to the plate and take over. But there's people are not doing that. If Bruno's not playing, it seems the whole team then regresses.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a worry, that we haven't got those kind of leaders in the team to step up and compensate when someone's having an off day.
But do you know what? I think one of the problems is that role that Pogba plays, and I've said for some time, I think it's too deep. We need a more high-energy player in that position. That supports Bruno more, and like you said, when Bruno's having an off day, he's there pushing forward. And Pogba's not that player. Physically, he should, but he doesn't drive forward, does he?
Yeah, but he's language. Then where's the big game player?
You know, he looks lethargic. I know he's not, but
Cookie.
He's just too laid back. In many respects, but he is playing too deep.
I agree with that, but we were told he's a big game player, and we never see that. And you know, we lack. We, Shane, you know, like Wolves last year in the Cup. If you want to develop as a team, you've got to be Mason Greenwood's getting us out of the shit time and time again. He's doing it but these other players should be doing it more. And I don't want to be too fucking harsh on them after such a good spell. But Nick, Daniel Harris put our defensive record is better than our defence. That's pretty spot on, do you think? We haven't even mentioned De Gea.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's probably the best way he probably could have said it.
Well,
you look at the defensive record and you kind of think, God, it doesn't look that bad, but this is why stats can be misleading sometimes. And it's the amount of sloppy mistakes and daft passes we do, for example, when you were all saying before about the high press, it's like, how many sloppy passes were there on Sunday? And then yesterday, it was like, again, not learning from it. It was laughable. It's like, and then you look at yesterday, West Ham are doing the same thing. How have you not learned from this? Do you not get a ball out in training and start kicking it around a lot? Or, you know, we're just doing stupid dash running drills. How can you not learn from it? So, I mean, it's fine to make mistakes, but you've got to learn from it. That's the main thing. And it's like what Shane says. It's like, yeah, Ole might be a bit of a bottler, and it's all right to make a mistake, but you've got to learn from it. And you've got to make sure that you learn fast at this club. You can't just sort of dwell on it a little bit.
I think what will be interesting is you know, it's going to be an interesting tactical battle on Sunday. And, you know, Leicester are also a very good high-pressing team. But, like I think Coggy said on the WhatsApp group last night, you know, they've got to come at us and score goals. And that
probably
should suit us because we can hit them on the break. So I think he's got to almost set us up that way, that we let them have the ball so they can't be putting pressure on
defence. Yeah, but fuck me, that worries me.
that's got to be the game plan.
That worries me, Ben, United doing that. Finno, all of this, everything stems from the goalie getting the ball. Now, I feel sacrilege saying it, but we've got a real problem with De Gea. Last week, we said he's not the keeper he once was. We've got a real problem with De Gea.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, yeah, you don't like, you know, Chris, there's a couple of good posts on the forum there. Like, Jeff put up a very good post about looking at his overall contributions to the club. But there does come a time when if Ollie wants to play a certain way, and you mentioned this playing from the back, and at times you're looking at it and you're almost cringing looking at us trying to work this ball out from the back, when we are getting pressed the way we have been, particularly in the last few games. And a lot of the pressure does come down onto the goalkeeper and his distribution. And people have referenced keepers from other clubs. We know who they are, who can seem to ping the ball onto the feet of, you know, wide men or whoever it happens to be. And that doesn't seem to be something we have with David De Gea at the moment. I always thought his distribution was good. I thought that was one of the things that, you know, we used to rave about when De Gea came. First of all, he was one of these keepers who very comfortable with the ball at his feet and all the rest of it. But it seems like that sort of disappeared now relative to other goalkeepers, that people are lauding and reckon that this is the way you've got to play football now. And
it's not even on his feet, is it? He doesn't even release it when he's got it in his hands. He never releases the ball early.
No.
Even when it's in his hands.
And I will say,
he releases it when a soft shot coming from Giroud or something, but otherwise he doesn't release it.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
I think his feet are a particular problem, though. And like when he first came in, you know, that wasn't so much the role of a goalkeeper, was it, nine years ago? Whereas now, if Ollie didn't want to play that way, it would be less of an issue. But Ollie obviously does want to try and play out from the back. I don't think he's the keeper to do it. And I think Ollie's got to be ruthless. Like when Guardiola came to City, he took one look at Joe Hart and he said, this guy can't play the way I want. And people were, you know, Joe Hart had won two titles with them. People were baffled, but he made that decision. I think Ollie needs to do the same thing if that's the way he wants to play.
One of the ways to bypass the press, obviously, is to dink the ball out to whoever it is. And then all of a sudden you're on the attack. And we've got the players to counter-attack. That's one thing we've seen. But you've got to find the player with the pass
over the press. But that's it's the most basic.
You can't do that. It mightn't be just the highest fault. It could be the movement of the players.
Around him, yeah. But they don't seem to realise.
Are our players, our front three, coming back and getting in a position ready for the keeper to either kick it out to them or throw it out to them? And they're probably not. I don't know.
But I think it's that we don't have the quality, because it's basic passing. You know, this is what we've been trying for months and we still struggle. But if you look at Schmeichel's distribution with the ball when he used to throw it, you know, De Gea misses those opportunities as well. I'll read that Jeff thing quickly, Finno. Jeff put on the Red News Forum, I think De Gea has been a tremendous goalkeeper for us. He's dug us out of the shit so many times, especially in the post-Fergie era. That's why he's on big money now. As mentioned, it's a sobering thought where we might have been without him. So he's earned a contract and in return shown loyalty when his stock was at its highest and he could have agitated for a move. I wonder whether not going to Madrid, though, has left him feeling a bit thwarted, and that's contributed to his drop. Out. Whatever the reasons, his confidence seems shot at the moment. He's not the reassuring presence he once was. Obviously, a defence needs to have confidence in its keeper and vice versa, and there doesn't seem to be much either way at the moment. It's a dilemma because there can't be any sentiment involved if you want to be successful. So dropping him seems the obvious thing to do, but that could go either way and will further knock his fragile confidence, thus making it difficult for him to get back to his best form. I think, therefore, that Ollie will stick by him for the remaining league games and maybe use Romero for the European games. And then the big decision comes this summer.
The other thing, Finno touched on it there about the movement. A little concern again tactically is that you talked about the subs, Barney, but we seem to have we go out playing one way, and it's, you know, it's like, you know, I'm no footballing expert coaching wise, but I've sort of helped out my lads under 16 team, and you tell the lads, yeah, do play out of defence, but when you're 1-0 up with 2 minutes to go and you're under the clock, sometimes you have to hit it long. And we don't seem to vary that at all. There doesn't seem to be any context in the play. It seems to be we've been out this way and we're going to play it out by hook or by crook, and sometimes you can see them. You can see it a mile off, the trouble coming. And you think sometimes just play it long.
Yeah.
Just play it into space and let Martial or Rashford chase it down.
We just
don't seem to be able to vary the play during a game. And that's kind of, whether that's coaching or whether it's the player's instinct,
we
need to be able to vary it. If things won't work, you need to change it.
Are we being too harsh, Nick?
I don't know. I think the thing is with De Gea is that Fergie once said that he was trying to sign him because he wanted him to be in the same mould as Van der Sar. Van der Sar had pretty decent distribution. And I vaguely remember, I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember his distribution being pretty good when he first got
That's what Finn did, yeah.
Where's it gone? Like,
that's what he was saying.
He hasn't a great kicker with the ball he is. And now he's playing it out from the back. It's like, it's not what his strength is. I agree, play into space. I mean, Martial and Rashford are players that you think they're going to hold up the ball and bring up as it's a play. Ighalo's that type of player. We've seen him, you know he can hold up the ball. You've got to play to your strengths, and, you know, clearly playing out from the back isn't working for us at the moment. You know, you've got people like Wan-Bissaka, who isn't the greatest passer in the world. Williams has been very questionable these last few games. You know, you've got to make sure you play to your strengths. If it is kicking the ball into space or trying to find Fernandes or trying to find Pogba, then go for it, do something different.
Yeah, but Williams was interviewed after the game and he had a massive bloodshot eye, and I thought, he's not fully fit. We are literally pumped. That's why Tim's played, you know. We are low in bodies. So, Nick, are we being too harsh on... You missed how giddy we were last week. Are we being too harsh after two... Well, three Southampton.
I mean, considering the fact that if we win Sunday and we finish third, and we're all a bit flat about it, does that not say how far we've come since lockdown then, and how far we've come since Burnley? You know, we are being too harsh, but at the same time, it's, you know, United at the end of the day, you know, we're not a random small team finishing mid-table in the Premier League and accepting the opposite. We should be expecting the best. So, you know, if you've not got high standards, then, you know, you just fall into the abyss. So I don't think we are.
But in the context of where we've been at points this season, like, say, after Burnley, in the autumn... I mean, if you'd have said to us at any point of this season, you're going to go into the last game of the season in third place in your hands, you'd have taken that at any stage, wouldn't you?
And you going back to that...
Is it where we want to be?
No, but we were never going to be, as I said before, we were never going to be in a better position than this season, because where we want to be is obviously closing the gap on Liverpool and City, but that wasn't going to happen this season.
And you only get if you qualify.
Year, 2 years, then obviously... He's failed, hasn't he? But for this season, I think he's an achievement.
I know what you're saying. But if you can cut out the mistakes and you can cut out the games like West Ham and Southampton at home and things like that, it's like, you know, we've lost less games than what City have this year. They've lost the game more than what we have. And it's the draws that are costing us, where if you can iron them out, it's like, you look at West Ham and Southampton, we've taken, what, 3 points out of 4 points out of 12 off the two teams.
But Nick, the thing is, you just pointed out those two draws, right? And now we've got one game left, and obviously it's absolutely critical. And whatever's gone on before, everything could just go down the swanny by losing on Sunday. But if you think about it, like, we're as Barney says, two draws, won all the rest of the games. Okay, Spurs, you've drawn three games. Spurs is always a tough game, regardless of empty stadiums or Jose's team being in form or out of form. Like, really, you know. Has anybody else been unbeaten since the restart in the league?
No, I think we've got the best record, definitely.
I think everybody's lost the game, at least. So I think it's just the expectations. That's what's probably making us feel. Our expectations were raised by the football, the attacking football.
Yeah.
And that was probably facilitated by the teams we played, who sort of let us do that until Southampton came to town.
Yeah.
And they obviously decided, hang on.
I mean, that was coming.
Yeah.
I agree, I think that's coming. But again, it's nice that we've created that expectation for us. And I think more of the misery I felt really from Sunday, from, like, you were all saying before about, you know, just, I don't know, you know, how black you were after the game and how disappointed you were. But the main thing for me yesterday is, like, when Coggy said before, you know, you look at, is it momentum or a team to find us out? Is it a fact it's a lack of quality? You don't make two subs yesterday.
No.
If it's not that. And it's like, it's little things like that where you just think, need to bring someone to change the game as well, and that's the thing. It's like they're the difference of gaining points in those matches and cutting those draws out. So I get what you're saying, and this run's been great. Don't get me wrong; it has been really, really good. But again, it's like we're just looking for ways we can get better and how old they can learn from that to kick us on from next season. Because if we do finish third, I would be pretty buzzing. I'd have taken that at start of the season. You know,
yeah, of course. Sadly. But then there were a few Ollie Wobbles online, which obviously they're going to be. I'll say, I was gutted Sunday, but in a way, being gutted this week has sort of, trying to think, not the right term, satisfactory. And I'll make a glib joke that Ollie probably didn't want us to get to the final without fans. But in all the shit that we've all gone through, and I hope everyone's all right, it's felt good to feel this passionate about United. Because I try and enjoy life, but my life is still enhanced by United. And to be having this chat amidst all the shit that's going on, it still feels to get your blood going about United. But there have been doubts about Ollie. So have any of you had any wobbles or anything? About Ollie.
Ollie. Ollie, we get the Ollie wobbles.
Very good.
Not recently, after we drew with Villa, funnily enough, even the Burnley defeat, so I was still supportive of Ollie. Because after we drew with Villa, I'm thinking, the man, you know, Ollie's at a low ebb here, he's looking unwell, you know, he's babbling on in interviews and everything. And I actually thought his days were numbered after the Villa draw, you know, earlier on in the season. But since then, I think he's done a great job, and you know, I think he's moving in the right direction. And you know, as Nick said earlier on, at the beginning of the season, if we'd have said we're going to finish top four, which was, I think, was realistic, and win a cup, we would all have been absolutely delighted. I'm gutted what we did on Sunday, because I think we had a great chance, particularly with City losing the day before. We may or may not win the Europa League. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, he's heading in the right direction, and it goes back to the perennial argument is, will he get supported by the owners? And if he does, then by getting two or three players, then I think it's positive going forward.
I still think it'll be one or maybe one and a half. They'll be half-hearted, if we get the championship.
Yeah, just one other thing, though. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I always watch the game that hasn't got the crowd on. Right, and it's very rare that you, I know this sounds a bit strange, but it's very rare you hear United coaches bawling and shouting. It always seems to be the opposition coaches you can hear and that.
I have heard others say Ollie sits on his, that people have said he sits down too much for their liking.
Yeah.
I've seen Red say that.
It's not just Ollie, though. It's Phelan and it's you know, the others. You know,
McKenna.
And if there's one criticism I've got of him, it's that being a bastard on the side of the pitch sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think I'd see more of that from him. But I think overall, I think we're moving in the right direction.
But what pisses me off about Sunday is we knew that Leicester had lost before we handed the team sheet in. And I get that he would have announced, but he could have changed it knowing advantage had gone to us. You know, that pissed me off. And does anyone have any wobbles over the last week? Not that we should, you know, but we're adults, we're allowed to.
I wouldn't say wobbles in the sense. I mean, I'd be the same as Coggy, really. I'd be lying if I said I didn't in the autumn around sort of Christmas, January. I definitely did. I think overall, what's gone on since sort of February, not really. But I do think he definitely got it wrong on Sunday. He got the selection wrong, he got the tactics wrong.
And he's got to learn from that. Like, he has to learn.
I'm not calling for his head, but I think he definitely cost us that semi-final on Sunday.
I agree. And I think you've got to accept, and I reconciled when we took him on, you know, people can debate whether it was the right decision to appoint him in the first place. But once we've appointed Ole, I think we've got to stick by him and give him time. Mm. But you've equally got to accept he is an inexperienced manager. So you're going to take a few months and the key is he going to learn from these? So he has to learn. He did make a mistake Sunday, and he's going to make more mistakes, but he's just got to learn from them. But at the end of the day, we're third in the league with one game to play, and we've just got to draw it. You know, I think there's quite a lot of optimism there. And I'm pretty sure I said in the first podcast of the season, was it Chelsea at home, and Media City. I think I predicted third, so I hope that's true when we
but
when
I will finish third. At Nick point, we are a very, very, and it's a good thing because we are United, and especially after Fergie's empire, but we are such a demanding fan base that even a draw, you know, to go third, to put yourself, is not good enough. And that is a good, but it's also the pressure. We've got an interview, our mag plug interview with Mickey Thomas, a quick update, and he three times mentions the pressure at United made it unenjoyable, ended his career early, and it made him an anxious wreck for the whole time he was at United. So you've got to appreciate the level they're coming to. I will say you've got 1 week to get the sub campaign, and also if you can order the next mag, there's a Dallas fanzine, and I think the thing should be when the Dallas fanzine, the Dallas the TV show, when that packs it in, Red News will pack it in. Right, Shane, last quick tangent. You, flying ants, you reckon seagulls get pissed on eating them?
Yeah, so I did look it up after the last podcast, and I evidently the seagulls feast on them, and they get some sort of trip from the acid. So if you see, there's reports of seagulls acting a bit strange around the planet.
Well, I had a Tony Soprano moment.
Like we moan about not being able to go to the pub for 3 months, but we can have a candle. Imagine being a seagull. You get one piss up per year, one day. You don't know when it's coming. You could have just decided to stay in that night, but you suddenly got to go out and quickly hoover up a few ants, and that's the only buzz you get in a year.
I had a Tony Soprano duck moment where after you told me this, and you could be having a fucking massive con because I'm not going to check Google to see if you're right. Loads of seagulls, quiet though, appeared above me in the garden and just started swooping around, and there were flying ants about. Fucking spooky. Right.
They were probably on a high, and they were probably having a competition to see who could shit on their head.
Right, United never do it easy. We've actually done 36 minutes, so come on, lads, you've 30 seconds each. Nick, are we going to do it?
I'm looking forward to Sunday, to be fair. It's a big game, it's another cup final. Let's just hope all they just turns up and just shuts up any wavering, lingering doubts from Shane about calling Pochettino. Still a bit mystified why Romero didn't play in the semi-final, though. Does anyone know why he didn't play? Because he started every FA.
No, and he apparently had the hump about it. He's got the hump about it. We hear he's leaving. He wants to go back to Argentina anyway. That was from months ago, but he's not happy about it. Shane.
Yeah, I'm confident for Sunday. I'm going to be optimistic. We got to be confident, and it's great. I think it'd be great for Ollie if we get top four. And it's, you know, it's not where United should be, and we don't want to be kind of celebrating the race for fourth. I've always said trophies are more the thing as a match-going fan, but nevertheless, it's progress, and it's a big step, as we said last time, in attracting players, and it'd be good for all his confidence in the squad. Yeah, so I think we're doing it. Yeah.
Finno.
Yeah, it's one of those games. If we go for the win, we'll get at least a draw. But if we go out for a draw, we get beaten. And so hopefully... No, but that's...
Yeah,
that's
no, not yeah.
Managing football.
Yeah.
So, and nothing is truer than Sunday. If that's the approach, if there's any sort of a negativity about, well, we only need the draw, we're going to get beaten.
Yeah.
But if we go... And there's no reason why we can't win the game. And for that reason, if we approach it that way, I think we'll get what we need. And the season will be a success. Just on that one game. In terms of where we are, as Shane says, Milo says, it doesn't mean that we should be celebrating it, but in terms of progress, it's huge.
And where
it's
we huge. Need to get to, we need this, I do think, because the shit will hit the fan. Ben?
Yeah, probably optimistic would be the word rather than confident, but I'm looking forward to it. I think if you can't fancy us in a one-off game against Leicester, like you say, we're not going to Galatasaray, are we? It's an empty stadium in Leicester. And we just got to turn up one performance, and we've got third, haven't we? So I think we'll win 2-1.
Coggy?
I am very confident.
Fucking
because
hell.
I think Wolves will beat Chelsea.
And they could do. Yeah, they absolutely could. They need to win, don't they?
Coggy? Yeah, they need to.
Yeah.
European football.
Yeah, I think the guarantee is European football, but I think to guarantee finishing above Spurs, I think it is.
My thing is, we're not a good side if we go behind, usually. No. So if they score first, I'm shitting myself. I think 1-0, I think we'll do it. I went to bed thinking we're done, we're spent. But Ollie's got to earn his keep. You know, if he's at Manchester United, and I love the fact he's here, but he's got to show that he can handle us. And he should revel in this. Because this is, if you can do this, like a playoff, then it shows you can do things. And we failed it last week. So let's, strongest 11. We know the 11 he's going to play if they're fit.
Barney, can I just say, with the exception of Chelsea, where we've said it was the wrong team and the wrong formation, we've fallen behind twice in the last three games. And we've come back.
Yeah, but to win.
I'm more confident than I have been at any stage of the season that even when we go behind, we've got the capability.
Fucking hell, Coggy. All right, lap me up with your confidence. This is United. This is United.
Chelsea, don't worry, lads.
Right, any final thoughts, you lot?
Ask us next week.
Barney, can I just say, will there be a reaction if we get through, if we get the top four position, or third or fourth, in other words, qualify, what kind of a reaction will there be if we celebrate on Sunday on the pitches if we won a cup?
I know, that's silly.
There's a lot of people who think, oh, don't celebrate it, but I mean, I think there will be a sense of celebration.
Well, Keane will be on the pitch fighting them. Keane will want to go on the pitch if he's punned it and fight them. No, I just think job done, well done. Now fucking move on and get the Europa, because there's Europa to play for as well, and I want to win that. And the season starts. The season starts in, is it 7 weeks? So we haven't got long. So you want to keep go into it with a bit of a high.
As we said last week, you know, I'm not convinced. Yeah, I think Ollie will leave us on a better platform, but what, and going back to Finno's point at the start, you know, we had a great chance in the FA Cup, that's gone. But just for Ollie to win a trophy would be a fantastic thing to have on his belt, and a nice legacy, whatever happens.
But then this goes back last week, Shane.
Yeah.
He had a chance, you know, he had. Nick, come on, I've been unfair last week about your absence with Martial. Someone said they'd buy you a pint for your views.
Yeah, well, I want them too, that when I see him. It's nice to be passionate, but at least if he's, you know, like I say, as long as he's looking arsed and he's putting the effort in, then I've got no problem with that. It's just frustrating when you do it. I really hope that obviously we do finish third. It'd be nice as a psychological thing to be third instead of fourth and stuff, you know, just to finish higher up the better. But I do worry that if we don't get there, worst case scenario, it does put more pressure on the Europa League. Or if we do finish third, do the players start taking the Europa League a little bit easier and we're not pushing it? So I don't know. It's one of those. I really want to win it, mate.
Yeah.
I like the Europa. I want to get out of it. Don't get me wrong, but it's been a good little competition for us. And I really would like to win that football tournament.
And then hopefully we qualify, we win it, and we go, we'll never fucking see you again. Finno, last thing, because you're a bit of a nutter. You travel home and away from Ireland. How are you coping with not doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I was very, in the lead up to the Spurs game, I was quite stoic about it and saying, This isn't the same. I'm not feeling this at all. And then, of course, come the Friday evening, 8 o'clock, I was itching to watch the game. And you know, regardless of the fact, once you know everybody's, there's nobody there, all of a sudden you've got to be part of it. And the only way we can be part of it is to do what we're doing, is to watch the games and subscribe to Sky or get it, whatever you want. But I must say, watching on TV, like, you know, obviously done it before for years and stuff like that, but the commentators, I mean, even Gary Neville was grating on me on Monday or on Wednesday night. And obviously I like Gary Neville, but the stuff they're coming out with on the TV, like, it's, I can't wait to get back to just watching football without all that stuff going on. But
you can swear if you want, mate. They're shit.
But look, yeah, no, we're stuck here now. I don't know what's going to happen regarding getting to games again. The proposed return for 30-40% or whatever it is, I don't know how that's going to work. It's double. There's additional problems for us traveling then, you know,
because travelling in itself, whether it be by plane and then by coach or train or whatever way you go, you've got all those additional issues regarding social distancing. Also, I'm not looking at going back to football until the new year, yeah, possibly.
I think there's so many.
And I don't really, I want to go back to football the way it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know when, that's probably not going to happen in the medium term. No. It mightn't even happen next year. I don't know. But the last game that obviously it was over in Austria. We didn't get into the stadium. But the last game I was at, like everyone, was the City, was the Derby. And I mean,
don't rub it in, you know, please.
Just made that clear. One person did miss that game.
Fucking hell.
You know what I mean? Remember that. When are we going? That's just something that, you know, to try and recapture that. And I know it's out of our control, but that's what I want football to be again. And
no, I agree.
Everybody does, I know, but it's just, I'm sad about that.
Yeah.
I'm still sad even watching the football now. Like,
I keep thinking that they'll do it for, you know, it'll be platinum first, but, and I am a platinum holder, but I think there's a moral argument that we've seen it all. And no one's going to agree with this view, but I think we should allow like a 10 to 20-year-olds have a certain, because they're the ones who'll be taking this on for years and years, and you don't want the kids to miss out if this is going to be like this for a year or two. So it's fucking a head fuck. For once, I'm not going to slag the club off on how they, you know. We won't be selling a fanzine for a year at least, you know.
I found Sunday quite hard because it was a semi-final, and obviously we'd all be, you know, the bigger games, you tend to meet more, you know, they're a bit out of the ordinary, so you meet a wider group of people, you know, like yourself, Finno, and it's a big day out, a few drinks before and that. So I thought Sunday was a bit, I had mixed feelings. I sort of sat down to watch it, but I couldn't help lament the fact that we weren't there ourselves to kind of, whereas, you know, some of the league games I've missed, obviously, but not as much as that one on Sunday.
Because so many have been midweek.
That softens the blow a bit as well, in the sense of being knocked out, that, you know, if you're going to miss out on an FA Cup final and not win the FA Cup one season, it's the one way you can't actually be there to witness it, really, isn't it? Whereas, you know, in some ways, the top three, fourth thing, as much as I hate saying it, given where we are and that we can't witness them winning a trophy, that's probably more important for next season to put us where we need to be going forward.
And because so many have been midweek, I've been sober for most of them. This is fucking hell. It's fucking purgatory doing all this sober. Right, lads. So, we're all confident, yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Coggy's overconfident. You got me worried here, mate. This is United. It's going to be the 89th minute. Mata comes on. All right, lads. Cheers.
Scores with a header.
Thanks, lads.